Kansvitamscha, hey Krishna, Karnasindo, Dinabando, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavani, Shri, Prishubhanu, Sudadevi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Vanshakapa, Drubhyastra, Kripa, Sinubhi, Vacha, Padidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Chaitanya Harshivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 8 Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai Text Number 295 Both Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy worked like miners, excavating all kinds of valuable metals, one better than the other. Their questions and answers are exactly like that. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged Ramananda Roy to give him permission to leave, and at the time of farewell, the Lord gave him the following orders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, give up all material engagements and come to Jagannath Puri. I shall return there very soon after finishing my tour of pilgrimage. The two of us shall remain together at Jagannath Puri and happily pass our time discussing Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Rai, and after sending him back to his home, the Lord took rest. After rising from bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple. There was the deity of Hanuman. Why is this the verse? Pratam Kale Uti Prabhu Deki Hanuman Tandre Namaskari Prabhu Dakshine Karila Priyana Pratapkale Uti Prabhu Dekhi Hanuman
Pratapkale Uti Prabhu Dekhi Hanuman
Andre Namaskari Prabhu Dakshine Karila Parayana
Andre Namaskari Prabhu Dakshine Karila Parayana
Pratapkale Uti Prabhu Dekhi Hanuman
Pratapkale Uti Prabhu Dekhi Hanuman
Andre Namaskari Prabhu Dakshine Karila Parayana
Andre Namaskari Prabhu Dakshine Karila Parayana
Pratapkale Uti Prabhu Dekhi Hanuman
Pratapkale Uti Prabhu Dekhi Hanuman
Andre Namaskari Prabhu Dakshine Karila Parayana
Andre Namaskari Prabhu Dakshine Karila Parayana
Tandre Namaskari Prabhu Dakshine Karila Prayan
That little dot at the end of the end, the last end, because you've got to pronounce the A also. That it has to be Parayana. The little dot at the end, the little N, the dot at the end. So it means it's not a regular N. Anyone else?
Tata Kale Uti Prabhu Deki Hanuman
Tanre
namaskare prabhu dakshine karilam prayanam.
Tanre namaskare prabhu dakshine karilam prayanam. Pratapayuti prabhu dekhi hanuman. Tanre namaskare prabhu dakshine karilam prayanam. Pratapayuti prabhu dekhi hanuman. Pratakale, in the morning, Bhuti, rising, Prabhu, Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Deki, visiting,
Hanuman,
the village deity
Hanuman,
Tanre,
unto him.
Namaskari, offering obeisances.
Prabhu,
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Dakshine,
to the self.
To the south.
Karila,
made.
Parayana,
departure.
Translation. After rising from bed the next morning, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple where there was a deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. Purport. In almost all the cities and towns of India, there are temples of Hanumanji, the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. There is even a temple of Hanuman near a Govindaji temple in Vrindavan. Formerly this temple was in front of the Gopalaji temple, but that deity Gopalaji went to Orissa to remain as Sakshi Gopal. Being the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra, Hanumanji has been respectfully worshipped for many hundreds and thousands of years. Here even Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example in showing how one should offer respects to Hanumanji. All the residents of Vidyanagara were of different faiths, but after seeing Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they abandoned their own faiths and became Vaishnavas. When Ramananda Roy began to feel separation from Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was overwhelmed. Meditating on the Lord, he gave up all his material business. I briefly describe the meeting between Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. No one can actually describe this meeting exhaustively. It is even impossible for Lord Sheshanaga who has thousands of hoods. The activities of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like condensed milk, and the activities of Ramananda Roy are like large quantities of sugar candy. The meeting is exactly like a mixture of condensed milk and sugar candy. When they talk of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, camphor is added. If one tastes this combined preparation, he is most fortunate. This wonderful preparation has to be taken orally. If one takes it, he becomes greedy to relish it even further. By hearing talks between Ramananda Roy and Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one is enlightened to the transcendental knowledge of the mellows of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Thus one can develop unalloyed love for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. The author requests every reader to hear these talks with faith and without argument. By studying them in this way, one will be able to understand the continental truth of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This part of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is most confidential. One can derive benefit quickly only by faith. Otherwise, by arguing, one will always remain far away. Text 310. He who has accepted as everything the lotus feet of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu can obtain this transcendental treasure. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura says that Krishna is attainable for the faithful. For those who are accustomed to argue, Krishna is far, far away. Similarly, these talks between Ramananda Raya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be understood by a person who has firm faith. Those who are not in the disciple succession, the Asauta Pantas, cannot have faith in these talks. They are always doubting and engaging in mental concoctions. These talks cannot be understood by such whimsical people. Transcendental topics remain far, far away from those engaged in mundane arguments. In this regard, the Vedic mantras in the Kapi Upanishad 1-9 state, Naisha Tarkena Matir Apanena Pratanyaneva Sugyanaya Preshta. According to the Mukunda Upanishad 3-2-3, Nanyam Atma Pravachena Labdo Na Medeya Na Bahu Shutena Yam Evaisha Vrinute Tena Lavas Pasyaisha Atma Vrinute Tanum Swam. And according to the Brahma Sutra, Tarka Pratishtana, all Vedic literatures declare that transcendental subjects cannot be understood simply by argument or logic. Spiritual matters are far above experimental knowledge. If one is interested in the transcendental loving affairs of Krishna, it is only by Krishna's mercy that he can understand them. One tries to understand these transcendental topics simply by using one's material brain substance, the attempt will be futile. Doesn't matter whether one is a prakriti sahajya, a mundane opportunist, or a scholar, one's labor to understand these topics by mundane means will ultimately be frustrated. One therefore has to give up all mundane attempts and try to become a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu. When a devotee follows regular principles, the truths of these talks will be revealed to him. This is confirmed. Atap Shri Krishna Namadi, Navraved Grayam Indriyai, Sevam Kehi Jivado, Svayam Evas Bharatida. One cannot understand the holy name of the Lord, his pastimes, form, qualities, and entourage by blunt material senses. However, when the senses are purified by the constant rendering of service, the spiritual truth of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are revealed. As confirmed in the Mundaka Upanishad, Yam Evaisha Vrinute Tena Lavas. Only one who is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can understand the transcendental features of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vraya Swami Piramane Namaste Sarasukram Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pastatyade Siddharane. Many topics have been discussed in this particular chapter, beginning with Vana and Ashram. Vana and Ashram means the scientific division of people's activities according to their psychophysical nature. And renunciation of the Vana and Ashram system, the realization of Brahman, the understanding of the self, the understanding of one's identity in relation to Krishna, five different rasas, the rasa of the Madhurya rasa, conjugal love between Radha and Krishna, the topmost gopi Shrimati Radharani, her mood of Mahabhava, the topmost mood of Mahabhava, and things beyond it. Therefore, it's expected that most people who are going to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita will not exactly understand in full what's being described here. As explained here, that even Ananta Shesha, with his millions of hoods, he cannot stop, he cannot find the limits of the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here it mentions we have to accept it on faith. Of course, as soon as we hear the word faith, according to Western philosophy, faith means blind faith. They think that there is a difference between science meaning something which is perceivable, which is factual, which is demonstrable, and faith, which is subjective, unreasonable, undemonstrable, blind following, called faith, sentiment. But when faith is used here, it doesn't mean faith based upon sentiment. It means faith based upon direct experience. Faith in the scientist is also, can be blind faith. For instance, the scientists describe many things that no one can perceive. That most of what science describes, even the scientists don't even perceive. The scientists have a whole description of the universe, and every so many years, the whole description changes. The scientists have a whole description of how the material world works, and every so often it changes their description. So even science is not very scientific. The Vedic knowledge describes proof or pramana in 10 different forms, according to Srila Jiva Goswami and his Tathya Sandarbha, of which three are predominant. One is called pratyaksha, based upon our senses. If we take our senses as evidence, that is a type of evidence. But unfortunately, because we're subject to four defects, of which cheating is the most prominent, but the other three are imperfect senses, illusion, and mistakes, and then tendency to cheat. Cheating may mean, for instance, that although our senses are imperfect, we can't see things clearly, although we're subject to illusion, although we commit so many mistakes, still we're putting forward our so-called evidence is perfect. Prabhupada used to point out that someone is claiming to be a teacher of a certain subject matter at the university, but he doesn't even know what the subject matter is. He asked one professor one time, "You say that you're a professor of Hinduism, so what does Hindu mean?" And the professor said, "I don't know." So he doesn't even know what the subject matter he's teaching, what it means, but he's a big professor. So, as long as we rely simply on our imperfect senses, then we're going to be subjected to four defects. Of course, because of our ego, we think that there's nothing beyond our imperfect senses. Although my senses may be imperfect, I have the most perfect of all the imperfect senses. Therefore, they're, practically speaking, almost perfect. And based upon our imperfect senses, we use our so-called intelligence. And we try to reason according to our imperfect intelligence, speculate, actually. And we come up with anuman, with conjectures. For instance, we may perceive the sun as a little ball, but sometimes it gets bigger. And through our telescopes, we see that it's much bigger than we perceive it. Therefore, we say, on the basis of reason, the sun is many times more bigger than we see it. This is called anuman. So we don't trust our imperfect senses. Therefore, we sometimes try to use our reason to adjust the discrepancies in our sense perception. But that's also imperfect, because it's based upon our imperfect perceptions. And the next is called shruti, which people think, oh, this is so not a very good source of knowledge. But according to the Tathya Sandarbha, it's the best source of knowledge. Shruti means hearing. Of course, perhaps 99.99% of our knowledge comes from hearing. Mostly we're hearing from people who are imperfect. And shruti is supposed to be hearing from someone who's perfect. Of course, it's not expected that we blindly follow the idea. Faith does not mean that we blindly accept that whoever spoke the Vedic literature is perfect. That's also sentimental. But we find out whether the knowledge is perfect by our personal experience. In other words, we take that this body we have, the mind that we have, the intelligence that we have, is a vehicle by which we can realize or experience so many different varieties of things. Bhagavad Gita gives us a whole variety of possibilities to experience. Mundane sense gratification in the modes of ignorance or passion or goodness, experience of higher realms of consciousness on the mental platform, the intellectual platform, even the spiritual platform. In other words, Vedic knowledge divides this world into five levels of consciousness, of which we're generally familiar with maybe one or two levels. There's Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya, and Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya. And in order to enter into one realm of consciousness or another, it depends upon how we utilize our present body. In other words, this body is divided into sensual, mental, intellectual realms of experience. We have senses, we have our working senses, we have our knowledge-acquiring senses like the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the sense of taste, the senses to walk, two legs, the arms. And above that we have the mind. The mind which is thinking, feeling, and willing. We can think about things, we can discriminate, we can try to decide whether this is good or bad. And then we can feel to will it with our senses. This is known as being proactive. Proactive doesn't mean just do whatever you feel like doing, or to start something new. Proactive means that we have stimuli, so many stimuli are coming to our senses, and before we decide how to react, we have the capacity to discriminate what is proper reaction, what is improper reaction. And the more knowledge we have, the more discriminative power we have, then we can make a decision which is ultimately beneficial for ourselves and others. That's called proactive. That's still on the mental platform. The Vedic literature principally deals in the Karmakanda section with the mental platform, trying to give people discrimination, what is elevating, what is degrading, what is sinful, what is pious, so that people can regulate their lives and make their lives gradually more auspicious, meaning to become free from the bodily concept of life ultimately. And above the mental platform is the intellectual platform where we can see things clearly. The intellectual platform really begins with understanding the difference between ourselves and the body. Because if we can't discriminate between who we are and the body is, everything else is just a waste of time. You may have a very nice car, very nicely decorated, but if you're and you're going to it's going to win a big prize, but if you're going to die in 5 minutes from then, what is the good of having such a nice car? That our first business is to understand who we are. Then we can understand what we're supposed to be doing. If we, as the example gives, is given, that someone has making money, working very hard, putting the money in the bank, but somehow or another he has the wrong bank account, so he's putting the money in someone else's bank balance rather than his. That's not very intelligent. You're supposed to know what account to put the money in. Otherwise your work would be just a waste of time. Similarly, if we don't know what life is meant for, what the goal of life is, we're just working hard, or not so hard. But we don't know what is the value, what is the aim of life, then we're wasting our time. So that's the intellectual platform which begins to understand that we're not the body. If we work for the body and we forget about ourselves, it's just like putting money in the wrong account. We should put money in our account, the soul's account. And then, to know how to put the money in the account, to actually be doing that, that's called Anandamaya Abhyasa, the spiritual platform of bliss. So faith means, according to what platform one is on, one will have different types of faith. If one has faith in the Anandamaya platform, then one will have faith, if I simply get something to eat and a place to sleep, and if there's other types of material senses to satisfy, then my life is complete. And there's nothing beyond that. Everything else is just imagination, according to such a person. And on the Pranamaya platform, if one can get more energy, feel more alive, then one is thinking, well, my life is expanded. Pranamaya means if I can control more of the material nature, then I'm expanding my success in life. And for a person on the Pranamaya platform, he looks down on the persons who are simply on the Anamaya platform as being like animals, and he looks up to the people on the other platforms, usually thinking that they're just living in imagination, that there's nothing beyond just expanding your power and ability to control material nature. But if one is fortunate enough to be a little humble and submissive, then one may realize that there's another platform of consciousness called the mental platform of consciousness, where I have to be careful about my mood. This mood of just controlling material nature, expanding my control, my power, my energy here, is not the highest realm of sense or experience. That I have to be careful how I deal with others. I shouldn't just deal with them to control them. I have to be appreciative. I have to be sensitive. I have to have so many qualities in dealing with them. I have to respect them, or else I'll suffer. So this is called Manamaya, the mental platform, where one is a little sensitive towards others, respectful towards others. There's some etiquette, there's some culture, there's some manner, there's some proper behavior, etc. On the mental platform, at least. And such a person looks down on a person simply trying to lord over material nature, or the beastly-like persons who simply try to enjoy material nature. And they look up to people who are so-called on the intellectual platform as being dry philosophers, trying to expand themselves into a realm where this feeling may not be so evident, or they may not be able to understand so clearly the intellectual platform. So the intellectual platform doesn't mean dry mental speculation. It means to actually put things in the proper perspective. That even beyond the mental platform of nice dealings, sensitive dealings, where we make everyone feel good for the moment, we want to, instead of just what's called prayas, the immediate feeling good, there's a shreyas. Not that the person is about to walk off a cliff, but I give him some very nice flattering words. No, we have to warn the person, you're about to walk off the cliff, although you're very nicely singing happily some tune. We can appreciate your tune, but stop before you walk off the cliff. And the person may turn around and say, you've disturbed my singing, and become very disturbed. But the intellectual platform means to put things actually in a perspective on an absolute level, not simply the temporary good feelings that we convey to others. It ultimately means to see ourselves as souls, to see everyone else as a soul, not only the human beings, but all the living entities as souls, to see the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Soul. Then one can begin the process of Anandamaya Vyasa, which is pure devotional service. So faith, everyone will have faith in one of these realms. But real intellect, Krishna begins in Bhagavad Gita, that the body is changing. So anyone who cannot understand that their body is changing will not be able to understand Bhagavad Gita. And that there's a soul within the body that's not changing, ourselves, that we're not changing. Anyone who's so bewildered into thinking, which that bewilderment will come from faith in the Anamaya, the Pranamaya, the Manamaya, or the Vijnanamaya platforms, but not so, or actually not Vijnanamaya, but at least the Anamaya, Pranamaya, and the Manamaya platforms, one who has faith in these platforms and his faith is simply restricted to these platforms will not be able to appreciate the value of understanding the difference between the fact that our body is changing, but we within the body are not changing. Such persons will find that this knowledge is wrong. They'll say, oh, this is wrong. I am changing. But actually, they're not changing because they're attached to their minds and their minds are changing. Therefore, they think they're changing along with their mind. Or they're attached to their gross body, and they think that their gross body is changing, or they know their gross body is changing, and think that they are their gross body, therefore they think they're changing. Or sometimes their ideas, they're attached to their personality. which is just a combination of so many different material factors which identify themselves as themselves, their false ego. They see that's changing. Therefore, they think they're changing. But actually, it's just due to attachment to one of these lower platforms. But one who's actually has some real intelligence will see that my body will change and I won't change. That's the beginning of intellect. Without that intellect, there's no intellect. There's no real perspective on things. So faith is not blind faith. Faith develops, real faith develops, and one can understand this with one's intelligence. And then performs the necessary activities by which one can experience the higher levels of consciousness by which everything is put into perspective. That's called devotional service. Of course, if one thinks that I am the body, that I am the Lord of nature, that I am here only to enjoy and help others enjoy, if one cannot see beyond the false ego, then of course, these things don't make any sense. They'll seem like two conversations between two madmen, Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, two crazy people, and the Hare Krishnas, who are equally as crazy or more crazy than they are, they're wasting their time reading about these things. Hearing about some imaginary person called Krishna, who everyone knows, you can read in any dictionary or any encyclopedia, was an Aborigine cowherd boy who lived who knows how many thousands of years ago, who simply ran around with some ladies in the village and became famous for it. So people will think like that, and they won't be able to understand at all why we have any faith. Faith meaning that we have faith because we can see it, we've experienced it. Just like people have faith, firm faith, in eating. Why? Because they experience it, it tastes good. And they have firm faith in the pranic maya, because they can feel if I breathe, I get some energy, I can, you know, control so many things. In this world, it's practical, it works. The scientists, especially people who have faith, because they press a button and they can just, you know, some city gets destroyed. So people, it works. They have some power. So, yes, sir. It works. It's practical. They have experience. They have experience in Manomaya. If I compliment someone, I flatter them. Just like I gave the example on Book Distribution, one devotee, that one old lady was saying, My dear lady, I guess it was an old lady with a daughter, and said, "My dear sisters, you know, are you both sisters?" He asked too. So she said, "Oh, you're just flattering me." In other words, she felt good that here he's complimenting me that I look about the same age as my daughter. She said, "Oh, you're just flattering me, but I'll give you a donation anyway." She wanted to donate to them. It made her feel good. So people have faith that this is a way, a technique, it makes people feel good, makes people feel powerful, makes people feel sensually satisfied, whatever. They have practice, it's an experience they have. And some people have some intellectual experience that I'm not the body. Just like I related the story, I was distributing books one time at a university in Texas, and I gave one person a book and showed them the changing bodies, how the body's changing from boyhood to youth to old age, different bodies are being shown in the picture, and how there's a soul within the body, it's not changing. So the person became very ecstatic and said, "Wow, that's right, I'm not the body, I'm actually a soul." So they said, "Well, why don't you take the book and you can read it? Just give a donation." So, "Well, I'm not interested in the book." And then he shook my hand and said, "Well, thank you very much for that." And just ran away. So some insight intellectually, but nothing beyond that. Because one will think, "Oh, very nice, I'm a soul. I'm a soul who can enjoy the material world." But that faith, that experience of the higher platform of Anandamaya, Abhyasa, or even Vijnanamaya has to be had by the process of devotional service. First of all, understanding that we're not the body, that we're a spiritual soul, and the soul, there is a supreme person controlling this world, and if I follow his directions, then my consciousness will become purified and I'll be able to perceive higher realms of experience called bliss, transcendental awareness and transcendental bliss. That's called devotional service. Those who are engaged in devotional service, they develop faith in the process of devotional service, and they wonder why people are wasting their time simply madly trying to chew the chewed on one of the lower platforms of consciousness. Therefore, they try to convince people, on whatever level they're on, to engage in Krishna service. They say, if you want to eat, then offer your food to Krishna. If you want to get some energy, then utilize your energy for Krishna. If you want to control things in the material world, if you want to regulate things in the material world, regulate them according to Krishna's instructions. It's the best system. If you want to understand things clearly, you should hear from Krishna and everything will be revealed. And if you want real happiness, then you should take to the process of devotional service. But the devotees don't tell people to stop whatever they're doing, whatever they have faith in. They try to encourage them to utilize whatever they have, but utilize it in Krishna's service. That this is a good way of doing things according to what Krishna suggests. Not to stop their activities, but to engage their activities in such a way as that will elevate them to a higher platform of experience, or even engage their activities in devotional activities for Krishna. Therefore, Krishna never told Arjuna to stop fighting. He told him to fight for himself, with knowledge, with full awareness. So the devotees don't decry knowledge, they don't decry awareness, they don't want blind faith, they want complete understanding. They want everyone to have as much understanding as possible, and that will eventually lead them to the process of appreciating Krishna and following his directions. Appreciating that Krishna is giving us directions for our benefit, for our elevation, so that we can ultimately become eternally happy and get out of our problematic material existence. For such persons, this Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, those who follow a little bit, for instance, Krishna Bhagavad Gita says, Ye shamantikatam papam janana punya karmana pedvanva mahom nirmukva vajante mam dridavataha. Those who practice pious activities in their previous lifetime. In other words, those who are accepted the Vedic literature to some degree. They may have been animalistic like persons, but they accepted some kind of regulation. How to eat, how to sleep, how to have sex, how to defend. And therefore they developed some faith. That faith later on led them to improve their lives so that they developed faith when they came to getting more energy, more power, more responsibility, for utilizing that energy in practicing pious activities, not just for activities of regulated life. So this is the Vanashram system. The first thing that Ramananda Roy had explained about to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he didn't accept as being a very practical way of dealing with the material world in Kali Yuga. Because people are so dull in Kali Yuga, they won't be able to accept the Vana and Ashram system so easily. If they're going to eat, they're going to just eat whatever they want. If they're going to try to control material nature, they want to do it without any restriction. If they're going to try to control the society, the people within the society, they want to do it as they feel like it. If they're going to try to understand things clearly, they're going to do it according to their methodology. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began with Gyane Priyasam Rapasanamanta Eva. Those who are a little submissive, who have a little questioning, why is it not working out, they can hear from authorities and gradually they can take to the process directly of devotional service, of which chanting the holy names is the most important. Because even if people can't understand very clearly, the chanting will help them understand things more clearly. Therefore, Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, first of all, the process of just hearing. Tried to get people to hear the holy name or the philosophy, whatever. And then gradually they'll understand how to eat properly, how to utilize their energies properly, how to deal with others properly, how to put things in the proper perspective. And they can gradually rise up to the platform of pure devotional service. And then they'll appreciate that these talks between Ramananda Roy are the most sublime scientific talks. They explain everything. Everything is explained in the Vedic literature. They'll value the Vedic literature as not some sectarian dogmatic philosophy that some Hindus evaluate or value, but they'll be able to understand the universal, scientific, complete explanation that the Vedic literature gives us so that we can actually improve our lives. Rather than making our bombs better, making our computers better, making our cars better, we can make ourselves better. Some concept that people are not even aware of, or a little aware of nowadays. But most people are being tried to be so much propaganda. Don't worry about yourself, just worry about your car. How big or fast your car is, how many bombs we have so we can wipe out anyone who doesn't like us, who doesn't appreciate how we're trying to exploit them. We can just wipe them out. We should exploit other countries and they should smile and appreciate it. Thank us for doing it. So, for such persons, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, other books will be valued if they have the opportunity to hear from the devotees, have the opportunity to chant the holy name, then they can apply within their lives whatever level of consciousness they are on the instructions, whatever they're able to hear, and be able to appreciate the good value, the good results they're getting, and therefore become more interested in hearing more and more instructions, and as they become purified, come to higher and higher levels of experience, and eventually come to the spiritual platform of consciousness called Krishna consciousness, and in that way their lives actually become successful. Well, stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Well, that's in English you have believing and you have faith. And is it expressive of difference? You know, is believing more like accepting something for the because in literature you only have believing actually hope and believing. And we don't have the word faith.
Well, at least where I was brought up, faith was always equated to something like blind faith. The idea of faith being based upon experience. You know, you have faith in your God, we have faith in our God. Faith was always equated with some kind of sectarian religion. They have faith in the Jewish faith, he has faith in the Christian faith, you have faith in the demoniac faith, whatever, you know. He worships the devil, you worship God, they have faith. But there's in English there's another side to the word faith called he's a faithful person. Usually means even he's wrong, he's still faithful. Blind adherence to some kind of philosophy or some kind of or a person, he's faithful. They say the dog is faithful. The dog has not so much brains, but whatever his master tells him to do, he does. So the dog is always taking this man's best friend. Because he has blind faith in the master. So faith is not, especially in modern age, has not been given a very good, is not appreciation, has not been appreciated. People appreciate much more the science, intellect, reason, because they think that previously people were very faithful towards the religion, but on the basis of that, they tortured so many people and caused so many problems. Faithful Catholic who tortured the unfaithful persons is not very much appreciated. We're torturing you for your own good, you know, squeezing your body in this particular vice so that you can become faithful like we are. That is, we stretch your body out like in the Inquisition, and the more we stretch your body, the more faith, your faith increases. So this has not been taken as the methodology by which people become actually really faithful. So that type of faith is not actually appreciated very much. But faith based upon experience, that I have faith, for instance, I have faith that if I get off the seat, I won't crash into the ground. Based upon my previous experience, that the floor here is pretty steady. It's pretty solid. So I have faith, when I get up, I'm not so worried about I'm going to crash and, you know, right through the floor. But I may be sitting here and so many scientists may come in and tell me, you know, that we've just taken the measurements and, you know, the next person who steps off that seat is going to crash into the floor. So my faith may be shaken a little bit by other people's testimony. But I have faith due to my previous experience. But real faith means I see things so clearly, I've experienced. Devotional service is supposed to be, for instance, just like when you eat a meal, with every bite you get three experiences. You get satisfaction from eating the meal. It's a nice prasadam, like the Sunday peace hopefully is today. You get growing strength from the energy in the food, and you get alleviation of hunger. If you eat something and suddenly you get hungry, more hungry, they have food like that, believe it or not, nowadays, scientifically made. So the more you eat of it, the more hungry you get. It's good for business, especially if they have that in popcorn. It's a scientifically made. Not only they put salt on it, because they know salt, as soon as you take salt, it increases your hunger. And if you put enough salt in the popcorn, just the right amount, when you eat it, because popcorn has no value whatsoever, practically speaking. It's like eating air. It's just the butter and the salt that make it, gives it some taste. Then, you get a little satisfaction from the butter, from hearing the crunch of the popcorn, if it's not too soggy, that you're lauding it over the popcorn, smashing it to bits. And at the same time, the salt is having the effect of increasing your taste. Now they have other things they add to it. You actually get hungry and hungry, not only due to the salt, but due to the extra things they add on to it. And then they sell, one devotee was telling me his experience, they sell a remedy because you get a certain bad effect from the extra chemicals they add. So they have a remedy that you can take that they sell right by the popcorn stand. And the stomach ache that extra chemical gives you, that increases your hunger. So you buy that too. In any case, theoretically, with every morsel, you should feel satisfaction, alleviation of hunger, and growing strength. So that's what devotional service is supposed to give us the experience of. Direct reception of Krishna, seeing everything in relation to Krishna, feelings of love and attraction towards Krishna, and detachment from things and conceptions, activities which draw the mind away from Krishna. That's what is supposed to be experienced by devotional service. And when one experiences that, then upon gaining this, one thinks that there is no greater gain, and one is not, even in the midst of the greatest deviation or difficulty, one is not at all disturbed. Just like Prabhupada gave me the example one time, if you light a match in a dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. If one sees things clearly, experiences things as they actually are, then no amount of mundane argument or advertisement for the other levels of consciousness or encouragement to experience them will deviate one from the higher platform of consciousness. Because everything is included there. If you gain $100 million and someone comes along and says, if you do this and that, you can gain 50 cents. If you work real hard and with great determination, you can get 50 cents. If you have $100 million, then why are you going to be so much impressed by it? Why should I struggle so hard to get 50 cents? If I just invest my $100 million, I'll have $200 million by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. One won't be persuaded or persuaded by arguments how to so-called enjoy on the lower platforms of consciousness. If one has direct perception and awareness for the higher levels. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.